has comforted God's people for countless millennia, and I hope it will comfort and encourage you today also. As we approach God's word, let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence, speak to us what we need to hear, and strengthen us to do your will. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for God is with me. God's rod and God's staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Chapter of Luke's Gospel, a very beloved chapter, and we'll also have our scripture reading next week from this same chapter. I read the first 10 verses of Luke 15. Listen again for God's word. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or, what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is more joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Not long ago, a few people asked me what I thought to be a very important question. And let me add a helpful footnote here. Always be careful what you say to a pastor that's not in confidence, because you never know when you might end up as a sermon illustration. Anyway, their question went something like this. "Bill, in a few sentences, what is your understanding of Scripture?" I thought for a moment and said, "The Bible is primarily a story of God's search for humanity. It is not so much a story of humanity's search for God, but of God's search for us, God's relentless search in love for you and for me." The group seem to like the answer, and I stick to it. I stand by it. And this morning, I want to offer the gospel text as lesson of that. In each of these stories, something has been lost, hidden, and in each of these stories, there is a searcher, one who will not surrender the search until that which has been lost is found, until that which is hidden has come to light. The searcher is like a shepherd who had 100 sheep, Jesus says. One of the sheep wanders away. It wanders off into a gully or becomes entangled in a thicket. Marauding wolves or hyenas pick up stragglers from the edges of the flock. Who can name all the ways that sheep have of getting lost in the wilderness? Sheep wander off. Can't be helped. That's the way sheep are. A shepherd grazing a flock in the wilderness makes a count at the end of the day. 97, 98, 99. Count again. 6, 97, 98. One is missing. That's unfortunate, no doubt about it, but that's the shepherding business. But my friends, this shepherd searches, seeking out that one lost sheep. And the woman in the second parable is also a searcher. She's lost a coin, a single coin, nothing much. She had 10 silver coins. Now one is missing, mislaid, well, somewhere. It's hard for us to get too upset about the loss of a single coin, a quarter perhaps, but this woman will not let it go. Now understand, it's important to know that today's scripture lesson begins with some religious folks, the scribes and Pharisees, sneering and grumbling because this man, this Jesus, welcomes sinners, even eats meals with them. And the way Jesus went about his work seemed careless to these Pharisees. Surely we can understand this, says the minister Patrick Wilson. Our own society has a dozen or more wisdom sayings about this kind of problem. Birds of a feather flock together. You're known by the company you keep. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And so they accused Jesus of keeping company with these sinners, and in response to that, he tells these two little stories. Which one of you, he asks, having 100 sheep and one strays from the flock, will not leave the other 99 in the wilderness, vulnerable to wolves, wandering off and all kinds of sheep mischief, and go out and beat the bushes until you find that one lost sheep? And when you find that one lost sheep, which one of you will not place that lost sheep upon your shoulders like it's a child, run home, where, by the way, you will probably find considerably less sheep when you get back than when you left. The passage says they're in the wilderness. Some biblical commentators years ago said maybe there was a gate there, that a fence that the shepherd put them in. This text says nothing about them, that he left them in the wilderness. And how many will, when you come home, remember it says he left them in the wilderness, less sheep when you come back, and cry out to your friends, "Hey, let's party, I found my one lost sheep." Now, which one of you would not do that? And which one of you women, having lost a quarter, will move all your furniture, all your appliances, out onto the front porch or the front yard and will rip up your new carpet in the living room, tear up your just restored floor, wooden floor in the den, and search relentlessly until you find that one lost quarter. And when you found your lost quarter, you will run out and you will shout to your neighbors up and down the street, "Come on, let's have the biggest party Gray's Lake's ever seen. I found that one lost quarter, that measly quarter." Now, which one of you would not do that? I think we all know the answer. None of us would do that. None of us would be like that shepherd and place 99% of our investment at risk to recover a 1% loss. And none of us would be like that woman and ransack our six-figure value home to find a measly quarter. Caution, prudence, common sense all dictate write off the one sheep or the one quarter, get over it, and move on. But this shepherd, this woman, is not like that, not at all. They search relentlessly, recklessly, until, the text doesn't say if, the text says until they find it, the sheep, the quarter. And then all heaven breaks loose. Understand, friends, this story is not about prudent, cautious people like us. Instead, this parable is about a relentless, reckless one who searches until that which is lost is found, until we are found. Ones lost in our selfishness, our despair, our loneliness, our addiction, our guilt, whatever it may be, our busyness even. Now, Patrick Wilson points out that we may have no clue about how truly lost we are. We may be looking for nothing more than a way to get through the next day, yet all the while, God is looking for us. Though we search for everything but God, God searches for us, and the search is risky and relentless, in love. Not to punish, but in love. Though we hide ourselves in shame, dreaming there can be no homecoming and no forgiveness for people like us, God searches us out. Though we disguise ourselves with indifference and cloak ourselves with cynicism, someone in another town I served put it this way: "I used to be a Presbyterian on Sundays, but now I play golf." Still, God seeks us. Though we become entangled in 1,000 preoccupations so that we forget God altogether, God does not cease to search for us. Even if we deny God and stand on the platform of agnosticism or atheism, God does not cease searching for us. I had a friend from my young childhood that we called Billy on the Hill. I was Bill, he was Billy on the Hill. I'll always remember Billy because I still have a knot on my head where he hit me with his metal toy gun. This was in the days before plastic guns and toys. Because when we were playing cowboys once, Billy took exception to my statement that I wanted to be the sheriff. And Billy thought he should be the sheriff, so he took the law in his own hands, and boom, ouch. And I still have that knot today. Anyway, Billy was about 5 years old. when his younger brother was born. Billy was so happy. He'd always wanted a younger brother to play with and teach things to. A younger brother, nothing could have been more wonderful. But things weren't working out exactly as Billy had imagined. Everyone was taking this tiny baby that was ready, not yet ready to play. Everyone was so taken with this little child, and this little one got all the attention, all the love in the family. And furthermore, Billy couldn't seem to do anything right. He left the back door ajar. "Billy, shut the door. The draft will give the baby a cold." And he shut the door too hard. "Billy, you'll wake the baby." And so finally, Billy ran away. He slipped off into the hilly West Virginia woods right behind their home and wandered until the sun went down and the air got chill. Lonely, I'm told he began to cry. After a while, he heard noises nearby. What could it be? Was it a wild dog or a bobcat or even a wolf? He was only 5, and who knows what might be in these woods. And frightened, he tried to hide in some bushes. The footsteps came closer and closer, and then finally he heard, "Billy. Billy." It was his grandmother. She had missed him and had sensed that he ran away. She alone knew where he had hidden. She opened up the bushes, pulled him toward her to hold him close, and said, "Billy, it's time to come home." My friends, according to these stories of Jesus, this is the gospel, the glorious good news. God searches for us in our hiding. God's search is risky and relentless because of God's love, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. God wants us home no matter how far we wander. Home with God in God's presence on this earth and one day in God's kingdom. Yes, these parables, indeed much of Scripture, is about the God who searches for us. Scripture reveals that to us, that in Jesus Christ, God is a God who would do this. No, let me rephrase that. God is a God who does do this, is doing this, will do this for you and you and your loved ones and even me. Amen.